Good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Brad Friedman for filling in last night while I tried to relearn how to breathe. Man, I'll tell you, I love these, I'm being very, wait a minute, let me turn this on. Okay, sarcasm mode on. I just love these little bronchial events that, this happens every year when Molly goes back to school. So, anyway, back in the saddle. We will be off Friday, an event that we had planned, will have nothing to do with having bronchitis. It will have to do with making a short trip with the family. So, and I think that we're just going to do a rebroadcast of something, right? Okay. And again, thanks to Brad Friedman, who did yeoman's work at the last minute, pulled the show together, as he always does. We appreciate that very much. Kate Petrini, our education affairs correspondent and San Francisco resident, sent me this right before the program, a front page article from today's San Francisco Chronicle regarding that last September, about a year ago, that devastating Pacific Gas and Electric explosion. Do you remember that? How many people died? 7 or 8 people died. In writing this email, sending me the article from the Chronicle, Kay used some language here that I can't even come close to. That's one of the things I like about Kay. Man, she has a class, I understand, that she conducts portside for sailors, teaching them how to really unload and cuss. She's a great cusser. I love the way she cusses. Anyway, she sent this to me, and I can't share the first little couple of sentences with you. I just can't do it. But then she says, meanwhile, the current crop of Republican flying monkeys continues to argue that we need to unshackle corporations from overbearing government regulators, blah, 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 blah. She writes, I'm just so angry about everything these days. My head feels like it's going to explode. Well, we certainly understand that feeling. This is a little brief part of this from the Chronicle. It says it would be hard to imagine a more devastating indictment of Pacific Gas and Electric's responsibility for the deaths and destruction in the San Bruno gas line explosion a year ago. Poor records, a lax attitude towards safety, evasive conduct are detailed in a long-awaited federal report. The study by the NTSB put the state's largest utility squarely at fault for a string. Now, the Chronicle here says a string of mistakes. I wouldn't call them mistakes. I call them deliberate actions that led to the blast in the Crestmore neighborhood that killed 8 people. If it could go wrong, it did. The report said, I wouldn't say that either. That's passive tense or passive voice, and it means nothing. That sentence should read, if Pacific Gas and Electric could cause things to become murderously incorrect and wrong, it did. Yeah, come on, Chronicle. You're doing great in reporting on this, but why use that passive voice? If things could go wrong, or if something could go wrong, it did. No, things don't go wrong. Things explode and people die because of deliberate action or inaction on the part of these capitalist predators. Anyway, the article goes on. The welds in the 1956 era gas lines were faulty, inspections inadequate, paperwork so skimpy that the origins of the metal tubing aren't known. When the blast happened, there was no emergency plan, next to no communications, no automatic shutoff valves, investigators determine. The chairwoman of this agency, Deborah Hirschman, wrote, quote, it was a litany of failures, a litany of failures. She said the pipeline was bound to burst, given the poor maintenance, the faulty materials, and neglect by the utility, Pacific Gas and Electric. Now, I bring this up Because you know what has been going on for the past week and a half. Arrest after arrest, scores of people, hundreds now, arrested in front of Barack Obama's business address at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, which he claims not to, or his press secretary claims not to have discussed any of this nonsense. You know, these people getting arrested, even though the top NASA scientist was busted the other day. But never mind, we'll get to that later. Anyway, the disclosures in the report put together by the National Transportation Safety Board, it's that board because the pipeline falls under their jurisdiction. The disclosures underscore many of the points raised in reports in the San Francisco Chronicle since the blast. You know, the newspaper there can come up with all the pertinent facts fairly quickly. And the government agency investigating, it's taken them a year, but never mind. Along with the details, the Chronicle says, of the disaster went another message worth noting. The lack of oversight by both state and federal regulators charged with maintaining pipelines that can explode like landmines. Now, all of this, and at the very same time, when these Republican potential killers, these lunatics, these religious crazy bastards who want to be your president, while they are telling their brain-dead audiences that there are too many restrictions and laws against these glorious, God-blessed capitalist corporations that are only trying to do the best for the American people. See, this is why Kay says she's so hangry, her head feels like it's going to explode. So am I. I think anybody who's not angry is a Fox Television or a Murdoch Terror Broadcast Network viewer or just a dumbass Limbaugh listener or I don't know. But how you cannot be enraged about this, I mean to the point of wanting to physically assault something, right? PG&E's neglectful conduct, it says here, was tolerated by the State Public Utilities Commission, which largely deferred maintenance and safety judgments back to the company. Oh, you boys take care of it. We trust you. You're this great capitalist enterprise, Pacific Gas and Electric. Weren't you at one time connected to Enron? Aren't you fellas out there and you women out there running PG&E? You really do have the safety and the best interests of your customers at heart, don't you? Huh? Gas pressure surges, for example, were allowed to keep lines running, though the practice put pressure on weak weld points in the San Bruno tubing. So, you know, when they had a problem, just up the pressure to push this poison that eventually was going to explode. There was no way to avoid an explosion. Just up the pressure and push it on through the lines. Two explosions, one near Sacramento and the other in San Francisco. Minor explosions could have alerted state authorities and PG&E to the dangers of leaky pipelines, but nothing was done. And the danger persisted. And the article goes on. It's at the Chronicle. If you want to look at it, go ahead. NTSB report, a devastating indictment of PG&E. You can find something like this in every newspaper in America that is still a responsible organ of journalism every day, or certainly every week. On and on and on it goes. Corporate America, capitalist America, they figure this way. 8 dead, we can handle that. 20 dead, we can handle that. 150 dead gets a little iffy because of the PR problem, but we can still handle the deaths. We can take care of that. We can delay everything and keep it going for 15, 20 years and never have to pay out a bit of compensation. If it gets over 500 dead, we might have a PR problem we can't fix.
Well, I sat there at the table and I acted real naive. Topless lady had something up her sleeve. Well, she danced around the barroom and she did the hoochie coo. Yeah, she sang her songs all night long, telling me what to do. Blow up your TV, throw away your paper, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, eat a lot of peaches, try and find Jesus on your own.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
This hour is sponsored. Matter of fact, all 3 hours tonight, sponsored by Barry Hall. His message, it's church night. Give him hell, Mike. From Barry in Toronto. Thanks, Barry. We would try. I've got some church a little bit later in the program. The piece that Kay sent me about Pacific Gas and Electric. I mean, it shouldn't surprise anybody. 1,000 years ago. My dad worked in the pipeline business. I can remember he would be gone for weeks at a time, sometimes months at a time, working in Texas and Oklahoma, building pipelines after World War II ended. And I didn't know that much about it because he and I didn't talk that much. But my mother used to tell me that he was working on pipelines. And I've tried to imagine what that meant, pipelines. And my mother tried to explain it to me, yeah, from the oil fields, the refineries. They have these huge pipes that go underground. Well, you know, to a five-year-old kid, it was like underground. A six-year-old kid, how do they do that? And you mean oil? Like at Grandpa's gas station? Oil comes through the pipe. So, you know, that was my connection. Like I say, he never explained that much about it to me, and I wasn't very interested, frankly. But it's that kind of operation that causes so much destruction and so much damage and so much death, whether it's here or in Nigeria or in Ecuador or in Colombia. It doesn't make any difference. The stuff is poison, and we all use it. And the reason we use it is because we've been convinced there was no alternative. And now we come to the tar sands pipeline that is supposed to come down from Canada into Texas. And all the activity that has been going on, all the people getting arrested protesting this. Priceofoil.org got their hands on some industry documents that reveal what the Keystone XL pipeline is all about. It's not about for U.S. energy security. This is what the pigs, the capitalist swine that run Standard Oil, is now called Exxon, and it's called Valero, and it's called all these different names, but they're all the same people. They're anti-life. They're anti-everything. And they have no... Well, why do you say that, Mike? Oh, because they continue to drill for and refine and force into use a product that's ending the planet. So that's why I call them just every vile name I can think of, including the term they're anti-life. In pushing, it says here, for the Obama administration's approval of TransCanada's proposed Keystone XL tar sands pipeline, the North American oil industry and its political patrons argue that the pipeline is necessary for American energy security, and the construction of this pipeline will help wean America of dependence on Mideast oil. But a closer look at the realities of the global oil market and at the companies who will profit from the pipeline reveals a completely different story. Keystone XL will not lessen U.S. dependence on foreign oil, but it will transport Canadian oil to American refineries for export to overseas markets. A new report from Oil Change International lays out the case based on data and documents from the U.S. Energy Information Administration and the Canadian National Energy Board, from corporate disclosures to regulators and investors, an analysis of the rapidly shifting oil market. Here's some facts for you. Keystone XL is an export pipeline. The Port Arthur, Texas refiners at the end of its route are focused on expanding exports to Europe and Latin America. Much of the fuel refined from the pipeline's heavy crude will never reach U.S. drivers' gas tanks. Valero, the key customer for crude oil from Keystone XL, has explicitly detailed an export strategy to its investors. Because Valero's Port Arthur refinery is in a foreign trade zone, the company can carry out its strategy tax-free. You see what I mean? There's more. Just stick around. It just gets worse.
Here's Mikey.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Barry from Toronto, Ontario, whose message is church night. Give him hell, Mike. Oh, yeah. A little bit later, Barry. Keystone XL, this pipeline that the press representative for the Obama administration and the president have not discussed at all, even though hundreds of people are being arrested in front of Barack Obama's business address every day. More people are arrested, including NASA's top scientists, a movie star, writers, activists, people who are putting their bodies on the line in order to get attention paid to the fact that the Obama administration is following in the steps of the Cheney administration in destroying the planet. There's no other way to put that. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. And yet I have colleagues in this rotten-ass business of talk radio and talk television who will continue to try to tell you that Barack Obama is a liberal or a progressive. I don't know what it's going to take for these people to wake up. But anyway, Valero, the key customer for crude oil from this pipeline, has explicitly detailed an export strategy that's going to use for all this slop coming from the tar sands to its investors. And again, because Valero's Port Arthur, Texas refinery is in a foreign trade zone, the company can carry out this strategy tax-free. So who's going to wind up paying for this? There are no taxes on it. Any damage that occurs, and there will be massive damage over the course of this pipeline, who's going to pay for it? Since it traverses not just state lines but also a national boundary, the federal government will be – that's you and me – will be expected to pay for the horrific damage that's going to occur with this pipeline. And you know it's going to occur. I mean, come on. God damn it. We're not going to sit here and play these little cheesy-ass head games about, oh, well, this time it'll be different. No, it won't. This time it'll be worse. In a shrinking U.S. market, according to priceofoil.org, in a shrinking U.S. market, Keystone XL is not needed. Yeah, remember, this economy has ground to a halt. And the Republican Party and the Democratic Party don't give a goddamn, and neither does the President of the United States. That's not their objective. Their objective is not to get this economy producing again. The way it should be. Oh, sure. You know, you can pick up Times, the Wall Street Journal every day and find out, oh, yeah, we're still the number one economy on earth. Uh-huh. In a shrinking U.S. market, Keystone XL is not needed. Since the project was announced, the oil industry acknowledges that higher fuel economy standards and slow economic growth means declining U.S. oil demand, even as domestic production is booming. Oil from Keystone XL will therefore displace American crude from the new so-called unconventional domestic fields in Texas or North Dakota. Stephen Kretzman, director of Oil Change International, said, quote, to issue a presidential permit for the Keystone XL, the Obama administration must find that the pipeline serves the national interest. An honest assessment shows that rather than serving the national interest, Keystone XL serves only the interests of tar sands producers and shippers and a few Gulf Coast refiners aiming to export the oil, end quote. Now, all of this stuff is out here, you see. Everybody who wants to find this out can find this out, including Jay Carney, President Obama's press secretary, who claims that, oh, this is just blowing right by all of us here. Hadn't given it that much attention. You lying son of a bitch. You're just like Ari Fleischer, only worse, because you represent a hypocrite. Ari Fleischer merely represented a war criminal. You represent a hypocrite. Barack Obama is a hypocrite. What did he say back during the campaign days? He was going to lead this country in ending our dependence on oil. Something like that. Some bat crap like that. Remember? Where is it? I've got it here someplace. Oh, I don't care. I don't have to repeat it to you. Either remember it or you don't. To issue a presidential permit for the Keystone XL pipeline, Stephen Kretzman says, let me repeat it, this administration must find that the pipeline serves the national interest. It doesn't. Now, Valero, the oil company who is the major beneficiary of all this, Valero has contracted to take at least 100,000 barrels of tar sands crude a day from Keystone XL until the year 2030. 19 years from now. And in those 19 years, 100,000 barrels a day, nothing is going to happen. There will be no pollution of the Ogallala Aquifer, the biggest freshwater aquifer in the country. There will be no destruction of farmland. Nothing. Nothing will go wrong. Absolutely nothing. For the next 19 years, with at least 100,000 barrels of tar sands crude coursing through this pipeline, nothing will happen. Valero, in its publicly disclosed business model, relies on refining heavy sour crude for export. That's what this stuff is. That's what it's called. Heavy sour crude. It's to be refined for export. It is upgrading its Port Authority or Port Arthur refinery to process heavy sour into diesel fuel. Its investor presentations clearly show that this company plans to ship diesel to Latin America and Europe. Valero. Now, this is the same company, the Texas Independent Company, that was behind last year's attempt to overturn California's clean fuel standards. Remember that? Huh? Valero is the only U.S. company among the six customers who have jointly committed to purchase 76% of Keystone XL's initial capacity. The other refiners are Motiva, a joint venture between Royal Dutch Shell and the Saudi government, Total of France, both of which have newly upgraded facilities in Port Arthur in the tax-free trade zones. There are also two Canadian producers and one international oil trading firm in the group of six customers. None of those, not one, is American. Back to Mr. Kretzmann, director of Oil Change International. He said, oil is a fundamentally global market. The idea that the pipeline enhances our energy security is a scam. Let's hope, he says, the Obama administration doesn't fall for it. Mr. Kretzmann, please. I appreciate what you're saying, and I'm sure most rational people do. You're laying out a good case for this being deep-sixed and forgotten about. But when you say, let's hope the Obama administration doesn't fall for the scam, you're assuming that the Obama administration is not part of the scam, which it is. I don't know where you live, Mr. Kretzmann, but if you're an American, surely you understand by now, 3 years almost into this administration, that any problem that is besetting this country that is the result of capitalist intervention has as its partner the Obama administration. You do understand that? Or are you buying the bullcrap line from these brain-dead teabaggers that Obama is a socialist? I don't think you are, sir. He goes on, let's hope the Obama administration doesn't fall for the scam. In fact, the only way to truly reduce our dependence on foreign oil is to reduce our dependence on oil. There you go. So, the facility in Port Arthur, Texas, the tax-free international zone, where these filthy, rotten sons of bitches can go ahead and do anything they want to, and you and I will never see, and this is a blessing, really, a bit of this oil, no matter how it turns out, into gasoline, diesel fuel, whatever. But not only that, the United States Treasury will gain not a dime from this crap, unless maybe somebody comes up with an idea to collect the taxes as it passes through this pipeline, if there are still taxes levied by the various states to say, wait a second, you're crossing our sovereign territory, or is it not considered sovereign anymore? I really don't know. I do know this. The Valero Oil will do anything it can to tell the American Treasury to go screw itself. You're not getting any tax money from us. What, are you crazy? You think we're going to be the only capitalist predator that pays taxes? Get real.
Inside your head, it's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, Barry in Toronto has sponsored this hour and the next. The first hour message, church night, give them hell, Mike. I will. Next hour. Since we have come on the air, MSNBC is reporting online and probably on the Maddow program that once again Obama has folded to the drunk that runs the U.S. House. Obama had scheduled his address to a joint session of Congress about his jobs plan for September, 7th? And Boehner said, no, you will not. You'll have it the next night. And Obama said, yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. So once again, Barack Obama shows his absolute willingness to do what his corporate masters tell him to do. What a shame. And once again, the right wing in this country realizes that Obama is a placeholder. He's going to be gone next election. And if he's not, it'll only be because the capitalists who run the organization now decided to keep him on for whatever reason. Who knows? Maybe to keep the Democratic Party in such a state of, I shouldn't call it confusion anymore, but to keep the Democratic Party in a state of self-destruction. So capitalist America may let him win the next one just for that reason. But Barack Obama once again shows his utter and absolute lack of leadership skills. Now, somebody on left-wing radio or television will tell you either tonight or tomorrow that, no, he's playing chess. Well, everybody else is playing checkers. That goddamn Malloy is lying to you. There is a method to this. He just doesn't see it. Really. But I digress. I got a moment from Bob, believe it or not. He and his wife and child are now settled in Vancouver. And he sent me an email here. I may or may not get to tonight, but it's pretty good. It's old Bob Alexander, as you and I came to know him and to love him. But now he is comfortably settled in to his new home in Vancouver. I may get to that tonight. I may have to let it wait till tomorrow night. But just wanted to let you know we've heard from Bob. I got this from Kay also, Kay Petrini. The Obama administration has decided to loosen the rules on cutting special education spending. Special education is for children who are physically or academically challenged, mentally challenged. You know who the special ed kids are. And the funding that goes for the special teachers and the special educational requirements that those teachers have to have, that funding has always been available through the U.S. Department of Education in part. And now it says here that school districts that want to reduce special education spending from one year to the next without restoring what was cut now have the blessing of the U.S. Department of Education. In the past, federal law was interpreted to mean that once a district set its special education budget, it could not be reduced permanently except for very specific reasons. One of those exceptions to the so-called maintenance of effort rules were limited to decreased expenses, such as when an experienced or highly paid special education teacher retired or a high-need student left a district. Cutting the special education budget for other reasons meant a district was running the risk of losing its share of federal funds. Well, now a letter to the National Association of State Directors of Special Education from the Education Department in Washington now says otherwise. To make a long story short, if local school districts want to cut special education funding, they can damn well do so now. It doesn't matter. Now, what's going to happen to the kids? You know, Molly attends a public school, and I go to pick her up, park the car several blocks away and walk, stand out in front of her school, wait for all the kids to be dismissed. Before the general student population is dismissed, they release the special education kids. There are five or six teachers that come out with about 12 children. And the children, some of them are severely retarded or challenged. Some of them are mildly so. Special needs. What? Well, okay, I'm using language from my generation. Kathy says, "Don't say retarded, say special needs." Okay, you know, I'm trying my best here, Kathy. But I watch as these kids come out, sweethearts, all of them, and some of them with their own personal escort, people who work for this particular school or the school district and are assigned to the school. And what this means is that I don't think it'll happen at Molly's school, but it means that any school district now that says, look, we've decided to cut, things are tough right now. We're having a hard time educating the general population. We're not going to continue to educate the challenge kids, the kids that need special attention. So notify the parents that we're dropping the We're reducing our enrollment from 15 kids down to 10. And the schools can now do this thanks to, let me see here. Oh, that's right. The Barack Obama liberal progressive Democratic administration. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This hour is also sponsored by Barry in Toronto, Ontario. Barry's message, he quotes Richard Dawkins, quote, "We are all atheists about most of the gods that societies have ever believed in. Some of us just go one god further." Isn't that the truth? You know, you ask a typical Christian or Jew or Muslim about all these gods that have been created by men and women, and pretty much get the same answer. Those are all false ones, but this new one, this one that's a couple thousand years old, this is the one. Where's that thing I was looking for? Michael Musto has something on his blog site, "Why I Hate Religion, 47 Reasons." Well, I will probably go to hell. Come on, Michael. There is a... Where is it? Damn it. I saw this in today's Times about Oh, here it is. About people who are trying to bury their military dead. Every week, there are thousands of veterans who are buried at national cemeteries around the country. And if you've seen some of the video, you know that that is a very solemn, private, personal, family situation. Sometimes you have the sorrowful, it's hard to say, sorrowful sound of a bugler playing tap. Sometimes it's live, sometimes it's not. In Houston, which has one of the nation's busiest national cemeteries, a controversy has developed now when the new cemetery director began enforcing a little-noticed policy that was established in 2007. The policy prohibits volunteer honor guards from reading recitations, including religious ones, in their funeral rituals, unless families specifically request them. In other words, the people who provide the color, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, to the interment of these folks, the dead people, the veterans, the honor guards, who are usually old men now, Vietnam veterans or a few Korean veterans might still be left. They're not allowed, unless the family requests it, to start preaching Jesus. They're just not allowed. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? That law was passed in 2000. Well, it's a policy passed in 2007. So a new director of this cemetery, the National Cemetery in Houston, the new director started enforcing that rule. And that, of course, outraged members of local veterans organizations who have long jazzed up their ceremonies with references to God and Jesus, and whether the family requested it or not. You don't have anything to say about this, was the attitude. Shut your goddamn mouth. Your relative's dead. We're going to bury him or give him or her the honors that we think are appropriate, and that includes reference to Jesus and God and life after death and heaven and angels. And if you don't like it, then take your goddamn body somewhere else. It's kind of the attitude. So local veterans organizations filed a lawsuit now against Department of Veterans Affairs that has turned this national cemetery into a battleground over the role of prayer and Jesus references in the burial of veterans. Can you believe this? The plaintiffs, the ones who are saying, we're going to shove Jesus at you no matter what you say. We don't give a damn if it's your dead relative. We know what's right. We're going to do it anyway. Those are the plaintiffs. They're aided by a conservative legal group called the Liberty Institute. The veterans groups contend that they should be allowed to use a Veterans of Foreign Wars script dating back to World War I that refers to the deceased as a brave man, quote, with an abiding faith in God, and that seeks comfort from a, quote, almighty and merciful God. Now, if your family that doesn't care for that, tough. These people are going to jam it into your loved one's open grave, whether you want it or not. The Liberty Institute has publicized this dispute with slick videos and a website declaring, here it comes, that, quote, Jesus is not welcome at gravesides. Jesus is not welcome at gravesides. You miserable rat, rancid bastard, you. Somebody doesn't want to hear your religious crap, and you're going to do this. Jesus is not welcome at gravesides. A retired Army Master Sergeant who is commander of one of the VFW posts in or districts in Houston said, in all these years, we've not had one complaint. That doesn't make it right, you half-wit. The lawsuit alleges religious discrimination by the government. And, of course, the videos, the ones that say Jesus is not welcome at the gravesides, you can imagine the kind of hate mail and internet commentary that is now directed to the Department of Veterans Affairs. The Texas congressional delegation, mostly Republican, are demanding that Obama fire the Houston cemetery director. Fire the son of a bitch. Fire her. Fire her. She won't let Jesus crawl into the grave with these dead bodies. Fire her. I'm so sick of these religious ghouls. I am so tired of having this perverted, filthy Christianity pushed in my face. I don't care where I go. I don't care what the occasion is. Of course, I live in the South. The most degenerate, disgusting, high murder rate, high divorce rate, high incest rate, spousal abuse rate, highest rate in the country, and also the most church-going. Draw a connection? You're goddamn right. If you don't draw the connection, then there's something wrong with you. The more you go to church, the more perverted and sick you become. You want proof? Just look at this part of the country. But I am so sick of this. I can't walk into a shopping mall in Atlanta without one of these freaks coming up asking me if I'm saved. Now, I usually wind up in a real confrontation, because what I'll usually do is say, I'll use the F word. Get the F out of my face, you creep. Get away from me. Well, all of a sudden, you see, I'm interfering with his freedom of speech. He's not interfering with mine, because he gets his bowels in an uproar because of my language. I'm just getting so tired of it. And the only time you have a rise in this creepy-ass fundamentalist religious crap is when all of a sudden things have become so bad that people no longer trust science, they no longer trust reason or rational thought or logic or common sense, and they go for the spooks and the haints and the ghosts and the stuff flying through the air. And because they know it's garbage, deep in their hearts, they're so eat up with fear and loathing of everything and everybody, and they know that their phony-ass religion is garbage, that's the reason they got to jam it down everybody's throat. And now this, if you want to bury your veteran in Houston at the military cemetery, and you don't want these creepy sons of bitches coming up pushing Jesus in your face, too bad. Take your corpse someplace else.
Hi, Truth Seekers. It's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This hour is brought to you by Barry in Toronto. And he points out the obvious truth that Richard Dawkins has put out there. We're all atheists about most of the gods that societies have ever believed in. Some of us just go one god further in that disbelief. Richard Dawkins. So what has my bloomers in a wad tonight is, as reported in the Times, the final resting place has now been turned into a battleground by these predatory Christian freaks who insist on jamming their form of death fear down your throat into any body orifice they can get close to. You know, you'll either believe the way they believe or you'll believe nothing and you'll be condemned to hell. And they will make sure that you believe, because they're even going to come in when you're trying to bury your dead and push their religious crap in your face, whether you want it or not. And some wildly misnamed organization called the Liberty Institute Liberty Institute is taking up the case for the God pushers against people who may not want God pushed in their face because they don't believe that crapola. Two of the largest veterans organizations in the country, the American Legion and the VFW, have criticized the Houston National Cemetery. Yeah, the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars. How many people in those two organizations do you think might not want the Jesus crap pushed in their face constantly, 24/7, even when they're trying to bury somebody? However, some veterans advocates have risen in support. Those advocates say that families who want prayers can have them. And they make the obvious claim that the Liberty Institute, so-called, has blown this thing way out of proportion to further another one of these right-wing phony-ass groups to embarrass the Obama administration. They don't go after the Obama administration on legitimate issues like issuing a permit, if it comes to this, which it will, to transport over 1,700 miles poison. No. They ignore that because that would indicate his pure capitalist instincts. No. They call him a socialist and then come up with something like this. You sick, sick, sick people. I mean, don't you get tired of it? I know some people listening to this program are devout Christians. I don't know how you put up with it, me or your crazy religion, but I mean, do you really believe that you have a right to push your belief system? It's not even a belief system. It's a superstitious collection of nonsense. You believe you have a right to push that at people? I've asked people that question before in the malls or on the street when I'm approached by these freaks, and they will quote, I forget what Bible passage, but the passage or passages where there Jesus exhorts his disciples to go ye therefore into the world preaching the message. And that means that they have a right to come into any place in your life that they want to come into, whether it is a doctor's office when a woman is trying to exercise her right to privacy, whether it's at a marriage license bureau where two men or two women have decided to take out a contract to get married. They have a right to stick their goddamn religious noses no matter where they want, and now this, into your loved one's coffin. Well, I'll tell you what, if, I'm of that mindset that if I were burying a relative who had served in the military and one of these freaks came up to me, I would just probably pummel him or her into the ground. Now, these are the same people who will tell you that the Westboro Baptist Church crazy nuts shouldn't be allowed. See? I mean, do you get that? The Westboro Baptist Church morons who hold up their signs about God hates fags and all this other stuff and bless every soldier's death because that means God is taking retribution. Those people shouldn't be allowed near a funeral, a cemetery service. But these freaks who want to come up preaching their brand of the same garbage should be. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. There's no point going on with this particular story. It was in the Times today if you want to take a look at it. It's just, it gets to the point where it becomes infuriating to me. You know, I have a hell of a time trying to protect my 7-year-old daughter from this craziness, this religious garbage. My son, who's now 33, it was a lot easier when he was 7 years old. But these Christian crazy nuts were not as aggressive and determined and psychically violent 25 years ago as they are now. Why don't you people just back the hell off? Huh? Why don't you?
I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rain's gonna fall.
You're listening to Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
I would not run from the bomb. I'd welcome the chance to meet 25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Barry in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And he sponsored last hour, and he's sponsoring next hour. Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it. This hour's message is a quote from Richard Dawkins. We are all atheists about most of the gods that societies have ever believed in. Some of us just go one god further. Now, I get there are several topics that just make me furious. I mean, to the point where I lose my ability to, you know, chill out, reason, logic. I get real medieval about some of these subjects. Republicans. Is one of the topics. The destructive fury of capitalism is another. And religion, especially what passes for Christianity in this country. I'm just so tired of all three of those forces utterly destroying not just our political system, not just our economic system, or economics in general, not just any kind of a spiritual support system that human beings might feel that they need, but also the entire planet. And I react viscerally, and I react the same way that a person would react, I think, if somebody walked into your house and held a gun to your partner's head. You don't stand around and talk and try to negotiate. You just find the quickest way to kill that person so that they don't harm your family member who is literally being taken hostage. And it's that kind of mindless rage that bubbles up inside of me. Any good that capitalists think they're doing, or religion people think they're doing, or the Republican Party thinks they're doing, is colored by the fact that they're all sicker than, they're just sick bastards who have no concept about human dignity or human spirituality or human worth or the sanctity of life, the real sanctity of life, not just their little fetuses, but life on the entire planet. They have no concept. And they push these perverted philosophies. Okay, you know, anybody can do anything they want to, ultimately. There are prices to pay, but, you know, if you want to go murder somebody, go ahead. The price is if you murder somebody in a capital punishment state and don't have a good defense attorney, you will be executed. So, you know, everything kind of has some kind of a spiritual, moral, or physical price. But to push your system as perverted and as flimsy and as insane as it is off on other people who may not want it, especially where it concerns something as personal and private as a belief or non-belief in spooks flying through the sky. I mean, to do that to me is it demonstrates one thing clearly and precisely: the absolute lack of faith that the person pushing this garbage has in their own belief system. Because if they had the faith in their own belief system, they would understand that people would seek it out rather than have it pushed and hammered and jammed into every corner of somebody's life who doesn't want it. We were in the Georgia Mountains 2 weekends ago, and you could not walk into a store up there without somebody having on either a Christian music CD or one of these mountain radio stations where some snake-handling, wild-eyed preacher was talking about how God's going to come and kill everybody and hurricanes and earthquakes because the queers want to get married or whatever the going topic is at the time that these religious freaks want to lay off everything. Everything wrong with this planet is because fill in the blank. And it varies from week to week. I get so tired of it. I get so sick of it. Every time I see a survey that says, you know, 70% of people in America, whatever the number is, do not believe in evolution. I mean, what does it take? You know, and the standard answer is, I didn't come from no damn monkey. Let me share something with you from the Wall Street Journal. Monsanto. They're genetically engineered corn plants that were designed to resist corn earworms. Well, here's what it says. Widely grown corn plants that Monsanto genetically modified to thwart a voracious bug are falling prey to that very bug in Iowa fields. The first time a major Midwest scourge, the corn earworm, has developed resistance to a genetically modified crop. And it goes on, and then there's this sentence, for you dumb bastards who just absolutely close your mind to anything rational or logical, here's a sentence for you. Iowa State University entomologist Aaron Grassman's discovery that Western corn rootworms in four northeast Iowa fields have evolved to resist the pesticide made by Monsanto's corn plant could encourage some farmers to switch to insect-proof seeds sold by competitors. Now, you know, all the time you hear from these brain-dead morons, well, show me evolution. It's all around you, you freak. And here's one you might understand. I wonder how many of those farmers are just wet their pants whenever they think about God's wrath, who just so believe in the message of their Redeemer to the point of being biased and bigoted against anything other than their little ingrown religious beliefs, and certainly against those crazy people that teach evolution, you know, and these very same farmers on their own farms, it's right there for them to witness, and they still won't. It's that kind of breathless, stupefying ignorance that is just the heart and soul of this religious nonsense. It doesn't make any difference what kind of evidence that so much of this stuff is what it is. It's mythology. It's superstition. It's fear. It's fear of the darkness of the grave. It's the fear of death. How many people just simply cannot accept the idea that, yes, sweetie, a day comes when your ass dies. That means you cease. You can't comprehend that. The ego cannot comprehend its own annihilation. So what do you do? Rather than just say to yourself, okay, well, someday I'm going to be dead, and I better, at least acknowledge that. I may ask all sorts of philosophical questions about what was the point of being alive. Have at it. I may realize I have a certain limited amount of time of consciousness. Have at it. But so many people, millions upon millions upon billions of people just can't do that. They can't do it. And I don't get that. So they invent all this this garbage, this, I mean, all sorts of carefully structured and layers and levels. And I mean, look what the Divine Comedy was about. Look what Dante wrote about. Yeah, it was political allegory, but look how it was presented. Layer upon layer upon layer of hell, and then layer upon layer of purgatory, and then il paradiso. Finally, why don't people look at religion the way we look at all of this ancient, ridiculous, amusing, stupefyingly ignorant constructs as what they are? Born of ignorance and fear. Look, the truth is, if by some wild accident of sperm and egg colliding, you happen to gain consciousness after you are carried for 9 months in a very protected environment, why is it so difficult for people to understand that eventually the ride is over and you go back into the oblivion from whence you came, whatever that means? Why this craziness to the point now where cemeteries are invaded with this religious crap, whether the people, the bereaved family, wants it or not? Well, ma'am, if you want a military burial for your husband, you're going to have to accept the whole package. I don't understand.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Barry in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. His message this hour: we are all atheists about most of the gods that societies have ever believed in. Some of us just go one god further. It's a quote from Richard Dawkins. Thank you, Barry. Barry has sponsored the entire program this evening, all 3 hours. And he has a nice message next hour that I'll share with you. I wanted to get this in this hour. Exxon, the former Standard Oil of New Jersey, the one that righteous people have tried for over a century to destroy, break up, but it'll never happen. Anyway, Exxon Mobil got what is called a coveted prize in the global petroleum industry yesterday. They signed an agreement to explore for oil in the Russian portion of the Arctic Ocean that is being opened for drilling, just like areas off the Alaska coast are being opened for drilling over here on the other side of the divide. The agreement seemed to, according to the New York Times, seemed to supersede a similar but failed deal that Russia's state oil company Rosneft reached with the British oil giant BP this year. where BP had planned to swap stock, Exxon, based in Texas, agreed to give Rosneft assets elsewhere in the world, including some that Exxon owns in the deepwater zones of the Gulf of Mexico and on land in Texas. So without any kind of consideration, you see, Exxon has agreed to give the Russians some of its assets in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I'm not certainly not trying to get all Cold War-ish on you and, the Soviets are coming, But there's a follow-up to this story. Exxon reaches a deal with the Russians, okay? Meantime, and Russia refused to deal with BP. Well, Russian law enforcement officers raided the Russian offices of BP today. And Russian law enforcement officers blasted what it called, or BP blasted what it called illegal interference in its work. BP issued a statement about the raid, saying there was no legitimate grounds for such a raid and that the court decision it was based on should not be allowed to stand. Now, the raid is related to a long-running battle between BP and a Russian partner, TNK BP, over oil exploration, in the Arctic. Comes the day after ExxonMobil signed a deal with Russian oil company Rosneft that included Arctic exploration. I love this. Now, I think here's what I think BP ought to do. I think BP ought to hire Blackwater to send out a squad, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 heavily armed professional hired killers. BP ought to do this and send them into Exxon's headquarters in Russia and just shoot and blow stuff up. And then Exxon can respond by hiring a huge contingent of hired killers from DynCorp or one of these other military contractors and send them back into BP to shoot people and blow things up. And just keep doing this. Just keep doing it. BP and Exxon. That would be a glorious moment in Earth history, wouldn't it? I mean, to have two companies that are destroying the very air we breathe, the water we drink, the earth that we try to farm in, they are utterly and absolutely destroying them, and nobody seems to be able to do anything. But this is one of the aspects of capitalism. Eventually, capitalism starts killing itself. It starts. The problem is the collateral damage. But capitalists will not stand for another capitalist to get in its way. If one capitalist gets in the way of another capitalist, then you have war. And if it's on a global scale, if it requires the dropping of nuclear bombs, such as what we did in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, then it will be done. Capitalism doesn't give a goddamn about any of this other stuff. Life, death, birth, infinity, man, woman, it means nothing. So when you have two massive murderous operations like BP and ExxonMobil, both in their fury of greed, trying to get to the same area in Russian waters of the Arctic. They're both trying to get there. Well, if you're ExxonMobil, you have more money than BP, so you hire certain elements of the Russian government to invade offices of BP, rough them up a little bit, threaten them with a lawsuit, tell them to sit down and shut up, or we will take care of you, or something like that. But this is great. Now, if we could just somehow get Valero involved in this. Hey, Valero, do you know that once you get this pipeline built, Exxon is going to come over and steal it? And what are you going to do, Valero? You're just going to sit there? They're going to bring in an army of 10,000 Blackwater special trained killers, and they're going to come to your corporate headquarters, Valero, and they're going to hold your entire board hostage until you turn the keys to the shop over to ExxonMobil. You better react quickly because Exxon's coming to get you, Valero. They're going to get you. See, just keep that story going for a while. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
there are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions,
welcome back. 7 past the hour. Yeah, I know, I'm still froggy. Well, what'd you expect? It gets worse as the night goes on, trust me. This hour is sponsored again. Barry's got the whole night. Sponsored by Barry Hall, who this hour, the message is, he's quoting Christopher Hitchens, "Gullibility and credulity are considered undesirable qualities in every department of human life, except religion." Christopher Hitchens. Isn't that the truth? Gullibility and credulity are considered undesirable qualities in every department of human life, except religion. Christopher Hitchens. Thanks again, Barry. Regarding the tar sands demonstrations in front of the White House, we were talking about this early in the night, earlier this evening, but in case you missed it, on Monday, Dr. James Hansen, who runs NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, was arrested along with 139 other protesters in front of the White House in protest of the Keystone XL pipeline, which is going to transport 500,000 barrels of crude tar sands oil from Canada to Texas per day. Dr. Hansen, of course, in addition to being deeply involved in what used to be called the Last Frontier, we've kind of given up on that now, haven't we, huh? I can remember Kennedy's speech declaring that before the end of the decade, we would have people on the moon. What happened? Oh, that's right. We're not supposed to go there now because it pisses Jesus off or something. My God, what has happened to this country? He is, in addition to being a space expert, he is one of the nation's foremost experts on climate change. You know, the stuff that's not happening. It's not happening at all. Listen to Michelle Bachmann or Rick Perry and these other religious cretins, these Dark Ages thugs that are just roaming the countryside doing this. And people are listening to them. Americans are looking at these two moronic savages as if they were had any leadership qualities at all. But I digress. Hansen, who has been with the nation's space agency for 44 years. And is an expert. He's a scientific expert, which in the minds and eyes of the religious trolls in this country, that means he's the enemy. Because he represents science, truth, logic, reason. And if you were a religious crazy person, like so many freaks in this country are, no science, no, none of that nonsense. The earth was created 6,000 years ago, and Adam and Eve used to play with baby dinosaurs. You stupid morons. Hansen is probably the best known climate scientist in the world. And if you remember, according to TV News Lies, he was at the center of a several years long controversy during the Bush crime family's destruction of the U.S. after he claimed that NASA had tried to censor his findings about Earth's climate on behalf of the Bush administration. Let's remember that NASA is not what it used to be. And during the Bush years, every single government agency had to have someone within the agency who reported the political attitudes back to the Kremlin, the Bush Kremlin, just like the old Soviet days. Not a scientist, but a watcher. Someone who reported on the political attitudes of the scientists, the researchers, or in other instances, the teachers, the agronomists, it didn't make any difference. Whatever the bureaucracy was, the Soviet Union made sure that there was a watcher, or two, or seven, or 20, inside each organization to report whether or not the agency was following the party line. This is what has happened in this country. Oh, by the way, he's the author of a book that calls for radical action to combat climate change. The book is titled Storms of My Grandchildren. And he's also been arrested for protesting against the blowing off of mountaintops in order for these predatory capitalist bastards to dig their machines into the coal. They're just determined, aren't they? They're going to kill us all. And you know what we're going to do? Unless we do something positive, we're going to sit back on our well-padded asses or our bony asses. We're just going to sit back and let these predatory capitalists murder us all and the planet and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Of course, you won't be around to see your great-grandchildren because you're going to die from the garbage that you're eating. You're going to die from the garbage that you're breathing. You're going to die from the garbage that you're drinking. So what do you care about your great-grandchildren? Huh? Doesn't matter anymore. That imperative, the genetic imperative to get your genes into the next and the next and the next generation. Who cares about that anymore, right? It's a very arrogant attitude on the part of our genome anyway. How dare it? Well, it's coming to an end. It really is. Unless you and I finally, here he goes again, finally get to the point where we say, this is enough. On the White House press corps, or in the White House press corps gaggle, as it's called, on Air Force One, that was heading to Minnesota on Tuesday. Now, I think I've got my times right here. James Hansen was arrested on Monday. On Tuesday, the White House press corps gaggle. It's not a press conference. It's just a reporter's sort of an informal circle jerk with these freaks. Here was the question. Anything on these protests outside the White House on this pipeline? The cavalier way it stated, these protests outside the White House on this pipeline. The question went on, has the president decided against TransCanada's permit for the pipeline? You know, it's the tar sands pipeline, Jay. There have been a lot of arrests outside the White House about it. Jay Carney, press spokesman. I don't have anything new on that. I believe the State Department has, well, that's under the purview of the State Department presently, but I don't have anything new on that. Question. Is the president aware of the protests? Jay Carney. Well, I haven't talked to him about it. So there you go. 600-700 people arrested right in front of the White House. Including actress Daryl Hannah and on Monday, Dr. James Hansen, and God knows how many of us common folk at this point, all being arrested right in front of the White House. And the president's press secretary says he doesn't know. He doesn't know if Obama is aware of the protests because Obama and Carney haven't talked about it. And how long have the protests been going on? 10 days now? 8 days? What? Oh, I'm not even sure if he's aware of it. I haven't talked to him about it. This is your liberal, progressive president, you fools.
Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run.
If you're not this angry, then you're not paying attention. Back to Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour, almost 22. So 600-700 people have been arrested outside the White House, and Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, says he hasn't discussed the issue with Barack Obama. That, of course, is a lie, and you know it is a lie. There's no other way to classify that kind of a statement. Over a course of a week and a half, hundreds of people being arrested outside the White House over an issue solely under the command and control of Barack Obama to sign or not to sign off on this pipeline. And Jay Carney wants us to believe that the president and the press secretary have not discussed anything, not a thing, that Obama has said to Jay, Jay, if that topic, you know, the one I'm not going to discuss with you about, you know, things that may or may not be happening, possibly could be outside of the official president's residence, you know, that white building on Pennsylvania. If any of that comes up, whatever that is about, I have no idea because, you know, I'm on vacation. I don't know what those are. But if anything comes up, no, we haven't discussed anything about anything like that, whatever that is. Jay, I have no idea. Do you? No, Mr. President. What are you talking about? You're talking about people get, oh, maybe they're waiting for a bus. That could be. But whatever that is, Jay, we're not talking about it at all. Okay? Okay, Mr. President. Thank you. Okay, bye. Bill McKibben, who organized this, environmentalist, and who has also been arrested, said, now here's the thing. Well, it's great to see the press corps pushing the administration to recognize our demonstration in front of the White House. The fact that Jay Carney hasn't yet briefed the president on the protest and the pipeline is a worrying sign about how out of touch this administration is on this issue. Ta-da, end quote. Well, I think McKibben here is, for whatever his personal reason is, kind of playing along with this half-assed scenario that Jay Carney is trying to lay on the press gaggle on Air Force One, that no discussion. Of course not. Haven't talked about it. Hundreds of people arrested in front of the White House, carrying banners and signs, and cops and park police and SWAT teams and press and spectators, and nobody has brought this up with Barack Obama. Nobody. And we're supposed to believe that. Mm-hmm. McKibben said, quote, just in the last 2 days, everyone from the president's chief climate scientist, that would be Hansen, Dr. Hansen, and an 84-year-old grandmother was arrested on his front doorstep. This is the largest civil disobedience action in the environmental movement in a generation. And if they really aren't even discussing it with the president, what that signals, McKibben says, a deep respect for their supporters, especially young people who have demonstrated that the environment is a top priority. End quote. Bill McKibben. But you see, that's based on the false assumption that Barack Obama cares about any constituency other than the one that put him in office, capitalist, corporate America. I don't know when people are going to get it. Barack Obama is going to sign off on this pipeline. Barack Obama does exactly what he's told to do. He does not deviate. He gives the appearance of deviating by giving one of his speeches. But he will not deviate from what his instructions are as a corporate candidate, as the president of the national security state that the United States has become. Barack Obama is going to do exactly what George Bush did, but with a little more flair and finesse. So, Ralph Nader points out, second week of protests led by McKibben in front of the White House, demanding that Obama reject the 1,700-mile pipeline. That's going to come from Alberta, Canada, down to the Gulf Coast refineries. 1,000 people, when this is all over, will probably be arrested. And you know, the sad part, to me, the ironic part, the disgusting part, is probably every single one of the people busted voted for Barack Obama. You think they're going to vote for him again? If they do, they're goddamn crazy. Any Democrat, any liberal, any progressive who votes for Barack Obama next election is insane.
I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, and like the previous 2 hours tonight, this hour is sponsored by Barry Hall, whose message is a quote from Christopher Hitchens. Barry includes the following. Gullibility and credulity are considered undesirable qualities in every department of human life, except religion. Isn't that the truth? Gullibility and credulity are considered undesirable qualities in every department of human life, except religion. A quote from Christopher Hitchens. Thanks, Barry. So, we're dealing with an anti-environmental president. Only, this is not like being anti-environmental back in, oh, I don't know, the Nixon years. Even though Nixon is the one that set up the EPA. No, this is planet death. This is a conspiracy that denies science, denies logic, denies math, denies observable changes, denies it all in favor of a type of predatory capitalism that goes beyond definition. I mean, it's one thing to be a capitalist predator and to smash into other people's countries, other people's tribal organizations, other people's belief systems, other people's currencies, and wreak your damage. But it's something else again to be the type of capitalism that decides it's time to destroy the earth and everything living on it, knowing, apparently, full well, that there would be no resistance. Not enough resistance to block this effort by a type of capitalism that is murder defined. No effort whatsoever. Because you and I are just sitting here. Several hundred people decided to demonstrate and allow themselves to be arrested, trying to make a political statement in front of the White House regarding this astonishingly, bizarrely, stupefyingly ridiculous idea of this tar sands pipeline from Alberta to Texas. And the President of the United States, according to Jay Carney, doesn't know a thing about it. Oh, we haven't discussed it. We don't know. So, as Ralph Nader points out, following the horror that BP committed in the Gulf of Mexico, nobody remembers that. Do you remember that? Oh my God, that was so last year. In spite of that, following that, Barack Obama gave his okay to expand drilling over 20 million acres in the Gulf of Mexico and fairly soon now in the Arctic Ocean. This is your Democratic, progressive, liberal president, morons. And I use the term moron advisedly, but what else? I mean, what other label are you going to put on so-called liberals or Democrats or progressives who operate in the national media, whether it's radio or television, who just are so willing to tout and cheer and clap and applaud their multi-million member audiences who still insist on telling their audiences that Barack Obama is a liberal or a progressive or gives a goddamn about where we all live, planet Earth. I mean, how do you people do that? You know who you are. You know who I'm talking to. Everybody knows who I'm talking to. How do you people do that? How do you continue to identify this man as a progressive or a liberal? Why do you continue to do it? What the hell is going on? Are you being paid off? Have you got some kind of a deal that I don't know about, that America doesn't know about? You define yourself as a liberal, as a progressive. You have a microphone. You have cameras in your studio, and you sit there and continue to call this man a progressive or a liberal rather than work for his removal from office? Are you insane, or are you just another goddamn traitor? Don't answer. It doesn't matter. Don't answer. As Ralph Nader points out, in addition to opening up the oceans, he delayed the clean air rules over at the Environmental Protection Agency. Delayed them. That means ended them. Nah, we're not going to do that. My capitalist owners don't want me to. And following the worsening Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan, he has reaffirmed his support for more taxpayer-guaranteed nuclear plants here in the United States. And he added that, his administration hopes to learn from the mistakes in Japan. What are you talking about, Mr. President? You're not going to be in office when these things are even begun, much less finished. Do you know how long it takes to build a nuclear power plant? What does it take now, 10 years? You'll be off on some capitalist payoff position that's just waiting for you when you get out of office, Mr. President. Stop BSing us, okay? We voted for you. We made a hell of a mistake. You're a liar. And worse, you're a phony. You're going to learn from the mistakes made in Japan. Oh, my God. Okay. As Nader says, if Obama were to just look out his White House window and see these people being arrested and handcuffed, putting their bodies on the line against this $7 billion Keystone XL pipeline, he might think, according to Ralph Nader, he might think, quote, this will upset my environmental supporters. But heck, where can they go in November 2012? Isn't that the truth? Obama, of course, is right. No matter what he does to give in to the capitalist people who own him and the demands that they have, no matter what he does, doesn't make any difference. Open up the Gulf, open up the Arctic, sign off on the tar sands pipeline. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he does. His supporters are going to vote for him anyway. They're not going to vote for the Republican corporate mascots, right? No, they want Barack Obama. Yeah, well, I'm going to vote for the man who I can tell just by looking at him, because I am such an astute observer. By just looking at somebody's, oh, I don't know, smile, skin color, shoe size, whether or not they wear a hat, how they blink or don't blink their eyes, I can tell when I am seeing a real liberal. And Barack Obama is a real liberal progressive. He signs off on all these earth-destroying enterprises simply because, well, he's playing chess, don't you know? And the rest of the capitalist power structure is playing checkers, don't you know? So the people who will vote for Obama will vote for Obama. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter. As Ralph Nader says, they wouldn't vote for the Republican. They wouldn't vote for a Green Party candidate. They have no bargaining power with Obama. What are they going to say to Obama? Do this or I won't vote for you. I mean, a lot of us are saying that. And of course, I think we fully understand what we're doing. I certainly do. I know that these rabid dogs out there, these religious crazy fundamentalists, these psychopaths, are going to get in line behind Perry or Bachman or one of these crazy goddamn freaks and shuffle them into the White House. But I'll be damned if I'm going to any longer vote for the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils is still evil. Don't you know that? Pipelines have been breaking to pieces recently in California, near Yellowstone National Park, in Pennsylvania. People are dying. Water is being polluted. Pipeline standards, as Nader points out, are old, weak, not enforced anymore. There's a little office at the Department of Transportation called the Office of Pipeline Safety. Office of Pipeline Safety? Have you ever heard of that? I wonder what their budget is. $500 a year or something? Huh? Pipeline safety? There's no enforcement. There are no standards. Don't forget, ExxonMobil is the former Standard Oil of New Jersey, which they tried to break up when the 18th century became the 19th, or the 19th century became the 20th. Here we are, 115 years later, and Exxon still owns, operates, and dictates what goes on in the White House. 115 years later. So this type of death alliance between the political parties and big oil or big capitalism is not going to be broken. It's just not. What needs to happen? Well, a replacement.
Enough is enough.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Barry Hall. Thank you, Barry. His message is a quote from Christopher Hitchens. Here it is. Gullibility and credulity are considered undesirable qualities in every department of human life except religion. Thanks, Barry, for the sponsorship all night. We do appreciate it. Back to the Obama administration and the demonstrators out in front of the White House into the second week now that Jay Carney implies neither he nor the president have even discussed. The spokesperson for the president of the United States has the temerity to stand there in front of reporters and say, we haven't discussed it. The implication being that Mr. Obama doesn't know about it, or worse, doesn't care. He just, and I'll tell you what the truth is, he doesn't care. Why should Barack Obama care? Those protesters are not going to contribute to his reelection campaign, the sort of money that Mr. Obama wants and needs from capitalist America. All Obama has to do is talk the talk with the fools who are willing to go to work, knocking on doors and pressing buzzers and getting petitions signed and getting the vote out and all the nonsense that everybody went through 4 or 5 years ago to get this man elected. You think it's going to happen again? I'll tell you what, any progressive, any liberal who goes to work for Obama on a volunteer basis this time is a goddamn fool. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm a moron. But when you look at what Obama's regulatory agencies are doing, and please, if you're a professional talk person on radio or television, don't try to tell me, just don't, you know, that Obama has no choice here. Obama has all the choices in the world. Even his own regulatory agencies are functionally useless. They don't mean anything any longer. Obama's Nuclear Regulatory Commission recently gave a pass to the Indian Point reactor. That's 30 miles north of Manhattan. And the NRC said, okay, go ahead. After its inspectors discovered a refueling cavity liner had been leaking for years at rates up to 10 gallons a minute. And just last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, the strongest earthquake in 140 years struck the East Coast. And as Nader points out, even though the liner, this fueling cavity, refueling cavity liner, its, quote, sole function is the prevention of leakage after a seismic event. That's all it does. And it's been leaking for 10 years. That's according to David Lochbaum of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Oh, my God, another scientist. Oh, look, all you have to do, first of all, murder the scientists, elevate the priests, and pray. That's all you have to do. Let's go back to the Dark Ages. You're sick? Pray. Bring the leeches out. Pray. Hold up a crucifix, and you'll be okay. Or you'll die. So what you want to do while your body is being absolutely dissolved by all sorts of microbes and cancers and stuff, just look longingly at the cross, and pretty soon you'll be in paradise with your Jesus, right? This is where we're heading back. Two, David Lochbaum, Union of Concerned Scientists, said the NRC did not require the nuclear plant's owner to repair the design defect. Didn't even, no problem, no problem. Let the goddamn thing leak. How bad can it be? It doesn't matter. What, 10 gallons per minute? Ah, that's like a leaky toilet. Don't worry about it. This is at Unit 2 Reactor, 30 miles north of Manhattan. And as Nader points out, this is only one of many defects, inspection lapses, close calls, corrosions, and aging problems with many U.S. nuclear plants that Secretary of Energy, Obama, Secretary of Energy Stephen Chu, and the president himself refused to seriously address. Eh, I got to go play golf. Eh, forget about it. Eh, my corporate masters tell me just take a vacation. I've been working hard. You know, we killed Bin Laden, and we had the earthquake and the hurricane. Christ, you know, I'm working myself to death. So my corporate owners tell me to go play golf. So that's what I'm doing. Eh. Oh, and the Republicans are even worse. They don't give a goddamn. This is not just an attack on Obama. This is trying once again, although it's utterly futile, and I understand that, but I'll keep trying to point out that Barack Obama is no more of a liberal or a progressive than Dick Cheney is a liberal or a progressive. They are all of the same, cut from the same cloth. Don't you get that yet? You will eventually. Now, all of this about these nuclear reactors is so, even though the news from Fukushima becomes worse every week. More food is found contaminated. Radiation readings at the site reached their highest level in August. That's still this month. And now the Japanese government is about to declare a huge area around the 9 destroyed or disabled nuclear plants uninhabitable for decades to come due to radiation. And what does the President of the United States and the head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the Secretary of Energy in the United States, what do these three people do? Nothing. Not a goddamn thing. Nothing. Oh, you got a leak in the containment thingy there where you're saying, well, it's all right. We don't care. What is it? 10 gallons a minute? Is that a lot? Oh, it's not? Okay. It's like a leaky toilet? Oh, all right. Never mind. How far is it to Manhattan? 30 miles? Oh, is that all? Well, let's hope something happens to prevent, a real disaster. I mean, my goodness, Manhattan is just recovering from the, what they have? It was a bad rainstorm, right? Yeah, okay. All right, listen, I got to tee up again. Got to go. Talk to Jay Carney about all this. He'll tell you what my real feelings are. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.